This is brought to you by Pickle and Boot Shop 501c3.
Why don't you bring some of that weather up here?
It's a little warm down there, Grandma.
It's very warm. I was warm in my tootsies.
You were, yeah?
No.
Does that mean your toes? Or is it a movie featuring Dustin Hoffman?
I was warm in my... Movie featuring Dustin Hoffman.
Well, you're drinking alcohol? You're drinking Tito's? Should I drink some Cheetos?
Oh, you got the whole beard thing going on, huh?
Yeah, I'm at this face. If I...
Oh!
It feels like I have like a camel hair shirt on my face.
It looks good. Have you been oiling it and everything?
I like to call it lubing it. Lubing up.
All right.
I lube myself a couple times a day. Lube it up.
Are you using the Duke Cannon Redwood?
It got banned by Kara. She did not like the smell. So I found this new stuff, and I think it does better on my beard, and it smells better.
See, it was the opposite for me. So Heidi, some of like the first beard oils that I got, like one was like... It was almost like a citrus, like it was like lemony. It almost had like a nice like lemony scent to
lemony
it.
Lemony Snickets.
Yeah, that's almost what I said. And then another one, she didn't like that one. So another one I didn't like, and it was, this is kind of gross, but it almost had like a maple syrupy kind of smell to it. So I did not like that one. And I could be wrong because again, my nose is off because of COVID.
Yeah.
So maple syrup smell to me might not have been that at all. Might have smelled like Fruit Loops. And then, so Heidi didn't like either one. And so then she found that Duke Cannon Redwood, and she really loved that. So when I put it on, I think it smells good. I think there's other scents that are better,
uh-huh.
But she likes it. So I use that.
I'm waiting for Taco Bell to come out with a Chalupa scent.
How amazing would that be?
Everybody'd be on you, you know?
Yeah. People would just be sifting through that beard for just a little bit of beef and cheese.
You get pulled over by the police. Hold on a second. I got to call. Yeah. I got to call for backup. And then he'd wink at you.
Right.
That happens.
Yeah, no, it does. I am down, 12 pounds.
What? While we're on the subject, what have you been doing to lose weight?
What I always do, keto.
Okay. But then it comes back, dude.
Well, it comes back because I stop eating the way that I'm supposed to eat. I stop eating right.
I gotcha.
Like, I lose weight, and then over the course of 5 years or 3 years, I go back to, like, eating a pizza. Instead of like
whole pizza.
Yeah. Instead of being like, hey, how about I eat a slice and then some vegetables?
Okay. Okay.
So,
Joe. Oh, geez.
That's my name. Don't wear it out. Have we started yet?
Yeah, I started recording.
Oh, we're started. We're 4 minutes in.
Hang on. This guy's not finding a babysitter, so.
So you have to do it. You've signed up for a babysitter app. Ladies and gentlemen, Reese Roper signed up an account as with an account on a babysitting app.
Yeah, I'm getting all kinds of business here.
Like, if you're going out to the movies, you can essentially rent Reese Roper to watch your kids. Yeah.
My main goal is just keep them from drowning. That's how I.
Yeah.
That's how I put on my page. Zero drownings as of, and then I update it every 2 years.
Your page is like, may or may not be sober. I will keep them from drowning.
Yeah. Mayor McCheese may haunt their nightmares.
No, their dreams. Like, not their nightmares. He may haunt the whatever's they like. So what's that? What's the opposite of a nightmare? A good dream?
I guess.
A daydream?
Where
we have We have a word for a bad dream, which is a nightmare.
But not what a good dream.
What would be a good dream? A daymare?
I can't stop brushing it, Joe.
No, you can't. It's driving me crazy.
It's like a dang kitty. Look at it. Look at how long it's getting, though. It's like I'm getting ready. They're going to start recruiting me for Civil War reenactments.
Yeah. Are you gonna sculpt it? Are you going to keep, like, trimming the sides, but the chin, like, let that grow?
I don't know. I don't want it on me anymore. I want it off. But the people at work, there was like, we have to do fit testing so people can wear N95s. So I had to read the stuff to get all certified to fit test people. But part of it is you get this chart and it has acceptable face hair, fits in your N95, and it listed them. And then my office mate, Jill, decided it would be funny to put that out and into everybody and say, vote on Reese's next mustache. So they voted and they decided Fu Manchu, which, it, you know, is like a thin upper lip and then it has these hangy downy things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to grow this thing way out so that it's like legit Fu Manchu.
Shouldn't Kara have some say in this?
Yeah. She's like, oh, is it for work? It's for the people. Do it. Go ahead.
It's for the masses?
Is it for everyone else?
Johnny.
Do it.
Johnny. How are you going to do it for the masses, Johnny? Are you going to bring this? Are you going to bring this country back to United We Stand, Johnny?
For the masses, Johnny.
Johnny. Do it for the masses.
Joe, speaking of the masses, I just want to tell you, it's not too early or too late to jump on the old Lions bandwagon.
Nah.
No, they're killing it, Joe. The Lions, they're going all the way this year. This is the year the Detroit Lions are going to win the Super Bowl.
They can. I'll be happy for them. It's like this. Hopefully maybe this is a better way of explaining it. I don't hate the Tennessee Titans. So if the Tennessee Titans were playing in the Super Bowl and they won, I'd be happy for them. I'd be happy for all our Nashville buddies that root for them. I have no ill will towards the Titans. That's how I feel about the Lions. I'm just meh. If they do good, great. They're just not my team.
See, like with the Broncos, everyone from Colorado has Stockholm syndrome. They've just been like, they've fallen in love with their captor, and their captor is the Denver Broncos. So as much as they get abused, as much as the Broncos are like, it puts the lotion on its skin, you just do it because you love it. That's how the Broncos work. That's why they're so popular.
As we've talked about before, like, I'm a Bears fan, and the Bears are just, they've been bad the last couple years, but they're normally a pretty decent middle of the road team. Like, year in, year out, they're middle of the road. And occasionally they have really good years and make playoffs and go far and maybe make a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But that's just, and I will root for that. But I don't, I exchange memes. And I like memes. I don't exchange, but I like memes and read memes that Erica, I believe Erica Carlson, she used to do, Sold
Edan,
Out.
Edan
in Chicago. So I like reading her stuff because she's a hardcore, like diehard Bears fan. So she's like my one Bears buddy that we can chit chat on Facebook about the Bears and Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, Lions, cool. I'm glad, like, our city is buzzing. Like two nights ago for Monday Night Football, like a bunch of people were having like Monday Night Football like parties.
Good.
Which has never happened in my entire lifetime. That's never happened.
It's cool, man.
I think I'm 46 years old. I think the Lions have been in 46 years of my life. I think the Lions have been on like 3 Monday Night Football games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, somebody could fact check that. I think this year, including this year when they just beat the Raiders, I think that was maybe the 4th time. But even when we had Barry Sanders and stuff like that, we were never on Monday Night Football. I think in 46 years of my life, I think they've been on Monday Night Football like 4 times.
Well, I am on board for the Lions. I am excited. Speaking of fat chicken, though.
Yeah.
We had a conversation about Elvis, and I got fact checked. You and I.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks ago. And I was wrong.
Yes.
This is weird. I've never felt this before.
You've never been wrong. That's the thing.
And
so it's like,
feels weird. It feels so weird.
I know.
But
it did the first time it does.
It did happen. No, apparently what my roommate Alan got was from Public Enemy lyrics, and it was from this one article in a, like, it, there was like an off-brand black magazine in the 60s that had printed this quote by Elvis saying that he only wanted black people to shine his shoes and cook his meals. And it never got put out. Jet Magazine even interviewed Elvis and he put it out. Like, he was like, no, I never said that. I would never say that. You know, like, I have close friends who are black. I let black people be in my band. He's pushing all these racial boundaries. And Jet Magazine was like, yeah, we have no reason to not believe him. He doesn't seem to be racist. I mean, we're all biased. But I think what we're seeing is that, like, I do feel like Elvis was like a force in bringing black music to popularity in the United States. And
absolutely.
I had said that, and I was wrong. So I'm apologizing.
Well, it takes a big man to apologize. So thank you very much, buddy. And now hopefully your love for Elvis can flow, because that guy is
It got so
rad.
Much bigger. I was just like, well, now I like him more as a person. I mean, there was so many good stories about him just like driving down the street and in like a Cadillac and just giving it to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just dude.
I know he wasn't, but I almost feel like he was so simple minded. Like, I think that's why he stayed with the Colonel. If you watched that movie that came out like a year or two ago.
My dad, I loved it.
Did you really?
Oh man, it's so good. I think Baz Luhrmann is a genius, but it is, I think, one of his best movies. A bunch of people didn't like it, and I don't understand how you could not like that movie.
Because
Tom Hanks. You want Tom Hanks to be the protagonist, and he's like...
It should have just been a different actor.
Crazy.
Because every time I saw him, I was like, Tom Hanks, and I was like taken out of the story, and I'm just like, that's Tom Hanks with bad makeup. I wish they just would have cast somebody else.
Yeah, and he's a bad dude. Like, he is... He is not good in it. He is not good to Elvis, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Now, granted, you could easily make the argument that he made Elvis. Like, he was a very good showman. He did it. But also,
yeah. That would be a cool debate. Like, would he have been Elvis without the Colonel?
No.
I think so, because he was already on the circuit. Like, he was already on the music circuit. Would he have maybe taken a little bit longer to catch on? Maybe. But would it just a normal manager? So let's say Elvis went out with Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Jerry Lee Lewis's manager took on Elvis, you know what I mean? Like, he still could have done great things, and his talent, his looks, and the aura about him still could have been it. So, like, I would love to see, like, an alternate universe of, like, if the colonel was just a piece of crap.
Well,
and then the Tom Hanks colonel was just an even bigger piece of crap.
But, like, I just feel like he did have this knack, you know, because he was like a circus promoter. So he had this knack for finding, like, this amount of pushing the boundaries or this spectacle is going to get people to buy records or buy tickets to his shows. He saw it and then got to a point where, like, he kind of put himself out of business, you know, that, like, he blew Elvis up so big, and then everybody kind of copied it, but then people were doing it better, you know, and he just could never catch up. And I think that's where the evil was like, he kept choosing himself over Elvis. He, instead of letting Elvis go be Elvis, do things he wanted to do, he couldn't leave the country. He did all
right,
these things,
right,
to kind of keep Elvis to himself and control Elvis.
Right.
And you know, to great detriment. I think, you know, like, you watch the movie and you're like, oh, this is why he got depressed. This is why he was doing all the drugs. And then, you know, like, it did not at all go into, like, all the anecdotal stuff where they think the Colonel was just, like, basically drug dealing for Elvis, you know, like, giving him uppers so that he could get up and do the show. And then he couldn't sleep, so he was getting Quaaludes and stuff so he'd come down.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one theory is that he was pooping, you know, on Quaaludes, on all this shit that he was on, and he vagled down, you know, he did the Valsalva maneuver. You know, when you bear down, it actually drops your blood pressure, like 20 to 40 systolic, like 20, it dropped.
Hey,
sorry.
Just pause for a moment. Look on the screen who you're talking to.
Wait.
And then go back 30 seconds and think about everything that you just said and think, is this guy who is wearing a freaking paperboy hat?
Some paperboy.
Like, is this guy understanding what I'm saying?
When you string,
so how about you re-
when
so
you
rewind it.
When you're pooping, it's
layman's terms. A
vagal maneuver or bearing down or Valsalva.
A bagel maneuver.
It, like, pushes, it presses down on this nerve and it will drop your blood pressure a lot. Like, people always pass out on the toilet because they're straining to poop and they're just cuck out. But think about that. You're on Quaaludes.
Today Roofing, someone sat down on the toilet, uh-huh, and pushed and then seized. They had a seizure.
They called the roofers in.
Called the roofers in.
Part of the package, you go in with the paramedics and stuff?
Part of the package. I'm like,
okay.
The paramedics are in doing their thing, and I'm like, so do you have a hole in the ceiling? Was it leaking? We're just part of the package.
Yeah, just doing the roofing.
Yep.
Did you see my notes?
Yeah.
You want to talk about it or what?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Are we catching up? That was part
Reese
of it.
Went to NYC.
I did.
And you know what? I have a jingle for that, and it goes like this. Everybody better listen up, because Reese went to NYC.
I feel special. Yeah, Kara and I, and Kara's daughter, we took the train, which I've never taken like the
long. What's Kara's daughter's name? Or are you allowed to say?
Her name is Michelle.
Okay.
So they.
You call her Mitchie?
No. She sometimes gets called Munch, which is short for butt munch.
Which is short for butt muncher, which is short for sucking turds out of butts.
Yeah. So that's part of what happened, man.
Oh, tell the story.
So she's...
If part of what happened was sucking turds out of butts,
listen,
I want to hear this story.
Listen to this tale of ribaldry.
I'm listening. I won't interrupt one more time.
We went to New York City. We rode on the train, on the Amtrak, which I've never done for that long of a distance. We rode from D.C. to New York City.
How many hours?
Like 4 hours. But
okay.
The train, I don't know if you've ever done it. It's so much better. You have all this leg room. You can stand up. Nobody's yelling at you. You can just walk to the bathroom. You can walk three cars up. Just talk.
Can I ask you something?
There's a dining car.
Can I ask, how long of a drive is it?
It's like, depending on traffic. So if you get low traffic, it's like 5 or 6 hours. But there's traffic, and you're going to pay tolls, and you're going to be stressed out by the time you get there.
So just a quick pause. So Chicago is 4 hours from Detroit.
No.
A lot of people like to take the train, the Amtrak train from Detroit to Chicago.
Yeah.
If you drive it, it's 4 hours. If you take the train, it's 6 to 8.
It's like, I don't know how bad the traffic is. Like, this was so worth it. It would have been worth it for twice as much time just because, like...
Scenery, I'm guessing, is great.
Yeah,
it was either great. Going through mountains or on the East Coast.
Yep. It was fall. Beautiful. So that was sweet. So we get there. We get out. We took the subway to... We stay.
Wait. Time out. I'm interested in this train thing. So back it up. So you get on the train,
my friend.
I want you to go through this whole train thing with me. So like when you're on the train, you get served drinks.
No,
is it like
an
old timey movie where you have your own car? Like you have like a little room in a car, or is it like an airplane? Like you're sitting in there.
I think there's such a thing as like a sleeper car. You can get like a train that has a sleeper car at night and you get like your own room, or you can upgrade and get stuff like that. But ours was just like coach.
Okay. And,
but it's still, you have so much leg room. There's like a leg rest. It like goes up like a recliner. There's like a thing that holds your feet up. There's plugs for your thing. There's no TSA. You just get on and get off. Nobody's checking your bag. You can have it full of food and booze. You can walk, you know, up to the dining car and get booze and then get sandwiches and stuff. It's a little overpriced, but it's not like plain. It's like nobody.
You're like, have you ever had a $34 ham and cheese?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So,
you will here.
Yeah. But then, so her brother lives in Brooklyn. And he and his wife and their two kids, they went for a weekend trip. So they're like, yeah, just come up and you can use our apartment. So we took the subway there, stayed in their apartment. It was really sweet. It's crazy, though. This apartment was like two bedrooms, two very, very small bedrooms, a living room and a reasonable sized kitchen in what used to be the building where they made X-Lax.
Oh.
But these dudes bought it. It's in Brooklyn.
So did they have a bathroom in there?
One bathroom.
Oh, okay. You said two bathrooms or two bedrooms,
yeah.
A living room and a kitchen. So I was like, oh my gosh, was it like a community bathroom?
No. But I mean, to buy something like this, and they bought it like 5 years ago, it was $1 million. I don't know if Carrie's going to get mad at me for saying all this stuff. But
that's more than I make in a year.
I know. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then the next day we get up. We're going to have this New York experience with Michelle. She's, I think, been there before, but not like done like we're walking.
How old is Michelle?
14.
Okay.
She's a freshman in high school.
Okay.
What did we do? We got breakfast. Oh, we got dim sum. Talked to me to do a dim sum.
Breakfast?
Yeah, man. Did we do that for breakfast? No. I think we did
There's
it.
There's no way
night
you're
before.
Talking dim sum. Breakfast to a 14-year-old.
I know. It is breakfast food. I think we did it for dinner the night before, but it was so good. We ate dim sum. Then the next morning, what did we eat? Maybe just snacked on stuff. Anyway, we walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. Chill, you got something wrong with your eye?
Yep, got it.
And then ended up like walking around.
Wait, you walked across the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah. It was really cool.
Isn't that what like P. Diddy makes wannabe rappers do to make it onto his label?
That's all you have to do to get on his label?
I think so. Go get him a cheesecake, a Junior's cheesecake, and then walk it across the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah.
We went to Junior's.
You did?
Yeah, it's by your brother's house. That's a good
one. How was it?
I didn't get a cheesecake, but it was good.
There's a place here. There's a place here in Detroit called Petite's Cheesecakes.
Uh-huh.
And it's a African American family that makes these, family run business, like grandma runs the cash register, all that stuff. Makes these cheesecakes. They make a Superman ice cream. Like, you know, Superman ice cream, like that flavor. They make a Superman cheesecake.
Oh, wow.
You guys look it up online. They will send it. They will overnight it. It is worth every penny. Continue. You went to Junior's.
Oh, we went to Junior's on Sunday for breakfast.
Okay.
We were looking for lunch. We decided to go to do a tourist thing, so we went to Katz's Deli.
Oh, like a $40 corned beef sandwich?
I had a $30 Reuben. I want to tell you, dude, I would pay twice as much for that Reuben. It was the best sandwich I've ever had in my life.
That's what I hear.
It was so good. That's what I hear. Like, it was like 6 inches tall, at least 8 inches. Let's say 8 inches and 8 inches, 9 inches wide. Just dripping grease and cheese at Thousand Island. And you almost had to dislocate your jaw to get in.
Yeah.
But geez, it was good. And Kara got a cheesesteak. It was also good. Better than any cheesesteak I've ever had, like in Philadelphia. It was so good. So like I ate the whole Reuben and half of her cheesesteak and I was so full. But I
see, and you continued to walk around New York. I would have been pooping my pants,
dude. I couldn't poop the whole time we were there. I just felt like it just kept getting worse.
Oh,
you know when you travel and you can't poop?
No,
this happened to me. Okay, when I got home, I pooped like 6 times. It was just like, 15 minutes has passed. I gotta poop again. but yeah, man, so we did that and then we walked around some more. We went to we went up to Times Square, went back down to the East Village. There's a place that I went to like 20 years ago and I was like, I wonder if that place is still there. It's called Palms Frites. They sell French fries. It's a Belgian fried place.
Okay.
All they sell is French fries. So I just remembered they give you French fries in like a cone made out of a folded up newspaper. And then the fries are not that special. They're just steak fries. But then they had like 60 different sauces you could get.
Yes, I know that place.
So
I know that place.
Went there. Geez, I was full from eating all that stuff, even though we walked. But still ate a bunch of fries because it was so good.
Now, I don't want to leave Michelle out of this. What did Michelle get?
You got
the Reuben.
Yeah, she's not that adventurous. She's still a kid, so she got a cheeseburger at Katz.
Okay.
But I'm sure it was still good. And she did try the fries and all the dipping sauces. But I want that she did get the most New York experience I've ever seen, which is...
She got mugged.
No. We were walking, and there was a group of like 3 cops just standing 20 feet in front of us talking to each other. And in between us and the cops was a homeless guy. And the guy bent down to pick something up. And like, it was like our minds could not, it took a good like 10 seconds just to be like, this is what's happening. This is what you're seeing right now. And Michelle was like, Oh my God. And Kara's like, honey, look over that way. But this dude bent over and his pants fell completely down like past.
Oh, and he bulldogged her.
He had his nuts hanging out. And then.
He bulldogged her.
Just nuts hanging down. And then.
Some people call it a fruit basket.
Yeah. And then just his, like his brown star, just cornhole spread.
It just winked. It just winked. It gave her the old Brooklyn wink.
He was skinny enough that you were just like, is that a butt I'm looking at? Is that a cornhole? Because he did not have a lot of muscle on his butt. So yeah. Just like cornhole and nuts. And that
that sounds like a breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a breakfast cereal.
That's what was confusing
Brooklyn
for my
cornhole
eyes.
And nuts.
Brooklyn cornhole.
Brought to you
nuts.
By Kellogg's.
I was just like my brain was just trying to put this in a context. Like one.
I would have Spartan kicked him through whatever business he was standing in front of.
No, I could not consolidate what was happening. It was like,
okay,
those are cops. That man's pants, that's a man. Those are pants. That's his balls. They're falling down. He's still doing it. It's still going. There's just cornhole. It's very clean. He has a very clean cornhole. He's doing okay. His balls are really shiny. Like, did he wax them?
Oh.
Like.
You took a good long gander.
There was nothing else going on.
You really
on.
Drank it in.
Yeah. But it was.
If you rub your beard one more time, I'm going to reach through this freaking screen.
Ciao. So soft.
You guys, the entire time he's been talking to me, we're 32 minutes into this thing. Not 3 seconds have gone by where he hasn't rubbed it, brushed it, caressed it.
Look at it. It's like a cat.
All right. So continue.
Well, that, I mean.
Michelle got an eyeful.
Yeah. She had stopped dead in her tracks. And I was also stopped. And thus Kara stopped because we were just like, trying to make our brains figure out, you know, when you see something and you just like, you have no frame of reference, you're just like, this is like that. Well, we didn't have that.
This is like that.
It was just.
You have no frame of reference. This is like that.
There was none of that going on in your brain. You're just like, well, I know the parts of this. It's nuts. Shiny nuts. And cornhole. That guy's still going. And those cops are just laughing. They're just up there just talking away. Not even like, hey, fellas. Hey, guys.
Hey, tourists.
You
welcome to the city.
Hey, you want to tell this guy to pull his pants up in front of this 14-year-old girl?
Nah.
Do you mind? There's a sex crime happening. But they didn't care. And finally, we just were like, oh, yeah, we got to move. We got to keep walking. So we did. And then.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, Joe. I'm brushing again.
You are. So what else happened in New York?
We went to the Book of Mormon. We ended up walking like 13 miles that day.
Everybody always tells me the amount of miles that they walk in New York.
It's a lot of miles. You can walk a lot of miles. We went to the Book of
Mormon. You know
what
I think to myself? I think, losers, you should have taken the subway.
Yeah. Well, here's my problem is you can take the subway, but then.
But you had to burn off a Reuben and half a steak and cheese.
And a bunch of fries.
Yeah. And a cheesecake.
But it was like, that's my problem is I was just like, oh, we got to go to this place. Let's walk. Oh, that's so cool. And by the time. You're like 4 hours into it. You're like, I just walked 10 miles.
Can I ask you something very, very, very cliche?
Okay.
Did you go to where CBGB's once was?
Possibly. We were walking and I looked and I was like, this looks like where it used to be. Because I did go there when it was there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't look it up. We're moving. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, sorry, sorry to just bring your story to a crashing, a screeching halt.
The Book of Mormon, though, if you can see it, have you heard the soundtrack or seen it?
My ex-brother and sister-in-law went, and they are the most Christian-y of Christian people, and they went and were appalled by it, but they did watch the entire thing, and they're theater buffs.
Uh-huh.
But so when they explained it to me, I was just, it doesn't do anything for me.
It's so good. The music is so good, and it makes, like, I feel like if you were Mormon, if you're a practicing Mormon, it would take a lot of, like, just sifting through it to be like, okay, that hurt, but I get the point. I get that they're making this point that, like, we're more concerned with baptizing people or the image of our people or the image of our church than we are about the people we're reaching out to. I think that's the theme of it, but it just takes, like, so many, like, horrendous digs
at
how ridiculous Mormonism is.
Is it written hilarious. By the guys from South Park?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Immediately, you can tell.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But it's so funny and so good. I freaking loved it. Like, I would go see it right now again. It's so good.
Well, right, because of your alternative religious viewpoints.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You can cut that out. I don't even know what I was trying to say. That
no, I just it's. I mean, don't take your kids. We did take it for 14.
You were like, years. I'll take my kids to the show, and it'll offer more than Jesus ever did.
Well, there's some, like, a lot of swearing. There is one song that they're just telling you in Ugandan, like, to say, fuck you, God. But it's really funny. It's really funny. And it's really just, like, I think the vehicle for it is offensive. But it's offensive in a good way. Like, it like pushes against the Pharisees, I think. I think if you're a Christian and you go and you're like, oh, this is gross, you're gross. Like, you're one of the Pharisees. If you go and you're a Christian and you're like, that stings a little bit, then it did its job, you know? And then I think...
Well, I mean, that is how the South Park has always been.
Yeah.
Like, people can say what they want about South Park, but I think at the core of any episode, what's a way to put this? I want to say the truth is always there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you may fall on the other side that you don't like that truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my brother-in-law was telling me that recently South Park just put out, like, their special on Paramount.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about how Disney and diversity and inclusion and all that stuff. So from my point of view, I see them making fun of everything in the truth is at its core. But if you don't fall on the side of the fence that I fall on, you know what I mean? You see what I'm trying to say? You wouldn't see that as truth.
Well, so I think it's really easy to paint it off as just, like, crass and just crass for the sake of crassness, but it's not. It's crass because I think they could be just as successful just being as crass as that show is. But I think it has a point, and that's what I think is amazing to it. You know, like, they'll have a show about, like, this starving kid from Somalia, but and it seems like, oh, they're making fun of this, or they're making fun of Suzanne Somers, or they're making fun of this. But, like, there is a point. And the point is, like, hey man, like, this is a good thing, or this could be done better. You know, like, there's always some...
Yeah, no, I agree with you, yeah.
some moral thing hidden in there that they're using this crass vehicle to get to.
Yeah.
So that's how this play is. It's crass. It seems like it could just be taking, like, just taking Mormonism apart, but it doesn't.
Well, it's kind of like how dogma took apart, like, Catholicism. So do you remember that, the Kevin Smith movie?
Yes.
So I love that movie, and it's the same thing. Like, obviously, South Park is more crass.
Not really.
But, you know, the way that dogma worked was a pretty good crass vehicle at pointing out some pretty, you know, some of the, what's the word? I don't know, just some of the things that, like, the Catholic Church props up.
Yes.
And they just kind of tore that down.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, I don't feel like this tears apart Mormonism. It makes it, like, it kind of puts out there how ridiculous it is, just the story and the culture of it, but without being overly cruel. It's still kind to it, I think. And I think if you were a true Mormon, you really believed it, and you went to this and you weren't just shocked and you thought about it, you would be like, you know what, this is a good point. This is what it seems like to everybody, that it's a made up religion and it's goofy and we look goofy and we look like we're just trying to improve our image instead of taking care of the people we're supposedly missionaries to.
And then the Scientologists are just thanking their lucky stars that Mormons were in the crosshairs and not them.
Yeah.
Because that would be like a trilogy.
I know, man.
Oh, my goodness.
But so anyway, yeah, go see it. It's good.
Go see it.
That was our trip. It was short.
Well, you know what? I'll talk about my camping trip on the next one.
Okay, because we're at 42 minutes.
We're at 42 minutes, man. Ladies and gents, you got a little extra sauce, as they like to say in Brooklyn. I don't know. I just threw that out there.
They do save sauce.
Sauce. You got a little extra sauce. So it's, 40-some minutes for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, freebies. Sorry we've gone a week without putting anything out. I have been extremely busy at work, so I was not able to meet up with Reese to knock anything out. That is on me. I am sorry. But I hope you enjoyed today. I hope you got some laughs. I did. I got some laughs out of it. I've missed hanging out with Reese for a couple of weeks here. So
it's been this long.
Yeah. And you just rubbed this beard. All right. See you guys.
Peace.